Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 61, Episode 5 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on geeks, and social media. Yeah. It's Friday, December 14th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien, Miles Gray, Anna Hosnier. The Daily Zeitgeist in your ears keeps all problems at bay, like the salt guy. That is courtesy of Sean Constantine on Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Jackie, are you old gray? Jackie, are you old gray? Are you old gray, Jackie? Jackie, are you old gray? Jackie, are you old gray? Are you old gray, Jackie? Jackie, are you old gray? Are you old gray, Jackie?
All right, anyway, that is from at Sir Brentsworth, Brent Liberati.
I can't believe you did the actual lean. That was incredible.
Yep.
The smooth operator.
Yeah, I drank a whole pint of promethazine.
Yes.
Oh, that lean. Yep.
The lean from the video.
Sorry, yes. If I stop breathing, just
smooth criminal.
Yeah,
not just smack smooth operator.
Throw water on my head.
Different tone. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by fan favorite and one of our favorite comedians to have here on the show, Sophia Alexandra!
Thank you so much, Ryan!
Thank you for the minute! There you go!
Hi,
how are you?
How are you?
Feeling great.
Good. All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better.
Right, yeah.
But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about a fancy Russian robot who turned out to be just a guy in a robot costume. We're going to talk about more earthquake shit. That's going to be a new segment on the show. More earthquake shit.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the dude who claims he has witnessed Donald Trump just grinding up the Adderall and blowing lines. And we're going to talk about AMI and David Pecker, our old homies from the days of Bloid Watch. Flipping on Trump, along with so many others. And other things. We're going to talk about a lot today. But first, Sophia, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I tried to search the most prolific child killers.
Okay.
Like people who murdered children or children that killed?
Children who murdered the most people.
Oh,
good.
Now that's more fun.
Now that's what I call searching.
Yeah. And my favorite thing that I came upon in that search was a child, a girl,
okay,
that had killed another child, then came over to the mother's door, knocked on the door, and was like, hey, have you seen Billy?
Oh,
I feel
shit.
Like I saw him out in the meadow. Just so she could watch the mother discover Billy's body.
What?
Whoa!
I know! That's my favorite thing that I found.
That's crazy. How old was she?
I think she was like 7 or 8.
Oh my
God. I mean, like a child.
What wow. country was this in?
England.
Wow.
That's
recently?
No.
There's
no.
like an old mythical tale.
Yes. Oh. A tale as old as time. Yeah. A child that murders other children. Yeah.
Wait, is
I guess
that
the
what
classics.
The tale as old as time is from that Beauty,
from
and, the
Beauty
Beast
and the Beast
song?
Yep. They were talking about that little girl who is savage.
That is fucked up.
Yeah, that's how you like crazy, listening to your little boy dead, huh?
You didn't know that the Beauty and the Beast were the same person.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Shit. You just blew my mind.
I know.
Yo, is that the moral?
That's the moral.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
I'm going to rewatch that movie now.
Through being a fan of Last Podcast on the Left, I've learned about killers who really enjoy, like, it's true what they say about, like, look at who's at the crime scene when body's being discovered, because that's, like, part of the thrill for a lot of thrill killers.
Right,
right.
I mean, that's why you return to the scene of
mourn.
The crime.
Yeah,
there was a Japanese guy who killed his classmates that were bullying him, and then he killed his own mom because he didn't want her to live with the shame of being the mother of a killer.
Huh.
That's so thoughtful.
That's the other way. That's the other direction. Right. That's how we do in Japan.
That's so sweet.
Think about your mama.
I'm going to send that person a card.
Good luck getting it to them.
Are there any? Did you find any children who like killed a bunch of adults? Like kids who were like 12 or younger? That would be dope.
Nothing that was nearly as interesting as this.
Right.
Right.
Like everything paled once I found that.
Especially when you're like, yeah, I think I saw him over there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like,
that
go
is
look?
What God, got me. Yeah. I was
Why don't
like,
you take a bite, we'll tell you about it.
It was like 2 a.m, all the hair on my arm stood up. I
right.
was like,
that is so crazy.
I just like the idea that you went through some other bunk stories too. Like, man, this ain't fucking lit enough. What
it
else
wasn't.
You got, Google?
Other child murders.
I was like, please, a child that didn't even care whether the victim's mother was going to see it? No.
Wow.
Not for me, thanks.
So that's what you'll get on Sophia's Twitter feed. Some shit like that.
And her dating podcast, Reality Bites.
Yeah.
That's sort
of what you guys listen to when Jack and I are on it. Learn a lot about our romantic lives. If you ever thought, what's it like to date us?
Yes.
Check it out.
And I love like that really story Sophia just told.
You'll never want to date us again.
That's not true. I think everyone's going to fall a little deeper in love.
Oh, come on.
And
get
Jack,
out of here.
You were vulnerable.
Oh, Jack was so vulnerable.
And I know a lot
honey.
Of you listeners don't think that Jack is capable of being vulnerable, that he's just a brain and humor machine. Well,
that's
you'd be wrong.
Think. Yeah.
Want to see a grown man cry over having a baby?
Yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Check out another podcast because it's not that one.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, you know I fucking write these down in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you guys seen the movie The Favourite?
No, I'm about to, though. I have the screener.
Okay.
I'm about to get down.
That shit is amazing. That's so underrated. Big fan of that movie. First of all, it's just so many women being so dope and like hilarious. It's a legit funny movie.
I heard it just like walks this really amazing line between being like torturous and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, I tweeted, I was like, it made me like think and it made me horny and it made me like, it was a real weird mix
of things.
Are those
two things possible at the same time? They are.
Jack. Watch
Jack,
The Favorite.
Have you seen Fahrenheit 9/11?
That's true. You so, know,
Jack,
you know my sweet
guess
spot.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Anything
so
with
this is your underrated, correct?
That is my underrated.
Okay,
favorite.
Cool.
We're
going out of order.
And also listening to the whole album. Okay, I thought that might have been too emo to say, but I just want
to
talk about
if you have
people
an album.
Don't listen to a whole album of music anymore. It's all what's the best song?
Because it's all playlists now.
The single? No.
Yeah.
Listen to a fucking album. I prefer doing it on a tape or vinyl, not because I think the sound quality is richer or some bullshit, which it is, I know, don't write me letters.
Right.
No, the reason I like it is I read something a long time ago that made me think of albums in a way that was really cool. And every time I listen to tapes or vinyl, I think about that, which is that people used to, when they made albums, think about the first side and the second side.
Yeah.
Like, how do you want to begin or end this part and this part?
Because there's no skipping tracks.
There's no skipping tracks.
Well, I mean, with the vinyl, you could, more or less so with the tape.
Sure. But it's also like annoying. You're not going to do that. So, and you get more, I guess you pay attention more to the music when you physically have to go and flip the thing to like side B.
Yeah.
And it makes you connect more with what you're listening to. And it used to also be like you would study the liner notes and you would just lay around and like try to, the experience of listening to a whole album, I think like you will rediscover songs in a different way.
Yeah.
Versus just listening to some of your favorite songs. That's all.
Well, especially, I think like Marvin Gaye, What's Going On is a great album if you don't listen to it all the way, because like there's a central theme that kind of goes through the entire album and like the songs go into the next. And I was like, oh yeah, listening to albums, like in college, I think I had a professor be like, you should listen to albums all the way through. And that blew my mind. Also, I think that Blurred Lines case was solved. And I think Robin Thicke and Pharrell owe them like $5 million.
Totally.
I think that finally just got
done
today.
Oh, they finally did that?
Yeah, they lost.
They're like, $5 million, bro, sorry.
Yeah, especially albums that were made at the time, because that was part of the intent of
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I like to think of them as filmmakers. Wow. My favorite albums tell a story.
Where'd that beret come from?
Why is he wearing a scarf?
Yeah, suddenly.
It's hot inside.
What is something you think is overrated, Sophia?
Overrated. Adding lady endings to jobs.
Like
a comedian.
I am so fucking done.
So gendered descriptors of occupations.
Yeah. Like if you're not calling someone a doctoress or a lawyeress, please do me the fucking favor of not calling me a comedian.
Presidentress.
Even when you're like, people I think they're being polite, but I'm like, no.
And comedian.
Yeah. No, I do the same thing as I'm a comedian.
Right.
That's what I am. You don't need to know I have a vagina in that word. It's just not.
They'll know from
applicable.
Your set.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because I open with a vagina dentata bit.
Oh, great.
That's how everybody.
Oh, good. She's a comedian.
That's how
they
got it.
The audience walks immediately.
Right. It's easier, though, too, because like you just give it one thing. Like you stop saying stewardess or stewardess, flight attendant.
Right.
Or what, not waitress, is a server.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or firefighters instead of firemen.
Right.
You know?
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We got to move towards that more. You know?
Yeah.
Podcaster.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, podcastress is not a thing.
Podcastress sounds like an amazing podcast, though.
And also, I'm wearing, like I'm serving you, like, a ham in one hand and, like, a stew in the other, and I'm wearing, like, a ruffly, like, kind of, like...
Lunch lady type
outfit where I'm like, I'm here to serve, right?
Right.
Podcastress.
Podcastrator.
Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Vagina dentata.
I'll take it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's not give these ideas out for free.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Feminists can be feminine.
Oh.
I wrote that in small font.
And that is a
myth. I was like, Sophia, you could do better.
That feminists can be feminine or cannot be?
Can.
I see.
You're saying they can be?
Yes.
Okay.
I just feel like, you know, it's very trendy to be like feminist or... You know, they're hard and they're badass. And I think that means to a lot of people that you can't, like, be feminine and enjoy shit that people think is, like, frivolous just because it's feminine.
Right.
Like, you can be a feminist and like makeup and shave your legs.
I feel like that's an argument like men have more against feminism, right, than women themselves. Because I feel like that's when you see on Twitter, they're like, oh, you like this, but you're a feminist? Because it's like a very shallow, one-dimensional understanding
Miles,
of feminism.
Miles, I wish that was true.
But you're right. I'm living in an ideal world when I'm high.
There's a serial like thing that was going around of like women posting signs being like, I'm not a feminist because... It's like, and they were like, because I like my husband. Because I don't mind that he opens my jar for me. Like, these are the kind of things that you don't think that, like, you think women should be immune to, like someone else limiting us.
Yes.
But no, we're also capable of limiting ourselves.
Yes, okay, you're right. I'm stupid. Right.
So,
it assumes that.
Hey, women can be terrible too, Miles.
No, I think women are great. Is that a bad take?
That's feminism, Miles.
Wait, men bad, women good.
It assumes that feminism is attempting to just erase all differences between men and women.
And to categorize masculine things as
right.
Right, right.
as better.
Right.
You know, that a woman that's like, I'm not like other girls. I love beer.
Yeah,
I right. sleep in a football jersey. You know, like.
And I have a Dilly Dilly back tattoo.
Oh, God.
Or like, I love Rick and Morty. It's like everybody can like those
things.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
They're not gendered. And
well, right.
It's not, oh, if she likes Rick and Morty, she's better than a girl that just cross-stitched
right.
last
it's
night.
It's born
instead.
Out of a very, yeah, I think regardless of your gender or your whatever your viewpoint is on it, it's born out of a very superficial understanding of what feminism
yeah,
is. Because you're like, I think feminism just like when a woman stomps on a guy's balls.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Great,
got it.
Great. That's why I'm not feminist.
Yeah, precisely. I just feel like, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice to like grade what kind of feminist you are based on what your interests are and then preferring masculine, quote unquote, seeming interests and also gendering interests. Like men have been chefs for like.
And artists.
Respected chefs for longer than women, but cooking somehow is considered a feminine and domestic thing.
Right, right.
So we're getting fucked on two levels.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like there's not as many women profiting from being chefs and getting as much respect. But at the same time, if you're a man who cooks, it's like either you're gay or being feminine. If you're a woman who cooks, yeah, you're doing domestic shit and you could be doing more important things with your time, but you're not, you dumb domestic bitch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
My thoughts exactly. Oh, you were saying that's not right. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, terrible. All right, guys, that's enough about here, the present tense. I want to take you into the future where a robot named Boris dazzled audiences at a tech forum near Moscow and it, you know, answered questions, danced, demonstrated skills that not many humanoid robots have.
Not many Russians have either.
Yeah, also
I'll
that.
Tell you, as
but yeah, I've long been disappointed by humanoid robots. They suck at walking. They're just idiots.
They're good at dancing, doing the robot.
Not good at fucking.
Not even really.
I mean,
okay.
Right?
Maybe not.
Jack?
No, definitely.
Isn't that what you were saying?
I was saying that off mic, but.
Sorry.
Well, anyways, Boris, who had given us all hope that the future might be here, turned out to be a human.
Just a guy in a suit.
No oid robot about it. He was just a human in a really good Halloween costume.
Yeah, it was a really weird thing where, like, they like Russian state TV was like, check out Boris, like in
check
its
out
advanced
the moves
technology.
On Boris.
And then a lot of people in Russia were watching, they're like, yo, they're how come, like people who just had a very elementary understanding of robots, like, where are the outward sensors so it can make sense of where it is in space? And like, why is it making so many unnecessary movements as it dances? Like, at one point, when you look at the footage, it looks like a dude in a fucking suit pretending to be a robot.
Yeah.
And then, like, people on stage are like, whoa, Boris, look at this robot. And then I think the people who were organizing the, like, technology forum were like, well, we never said it was, like, a robot. We never said that, really. And you're like, what? Why the fuck would you
like,
have
your
this?
Your headline was, check out this crazy good robot.
Yeah. They were just like, no, we don't know. We never said that.
Right.
But the wild thing was, like, when you look at the photos from the thing, you could see the guy's neck, like, from in between the helmet and, like, where the shoulders start of the thing. But again, you know, it's fun to, I guess, pretend.
Yeah.
but the costume was bought from a website. So it was, like, it was an expensive suit. It wasn't a cheap-ass robot suit. Like, it was one of the more, like, you had to put your money into this hoax.
But also, don't we have a history of cheating with
we,
things
America?
Like that? Russians.
Well, I think America, too. You guys aren't the only ones that are good at cheating.
I mean, we cheated the Olympics hardcore. We also...
I call it winning.
It's true.
By any means, you know what I mean?
We do win a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we don't. Didn't we also pretend to have a chess robot at one point that used to beat people, and then it turned out it was just a chess master?
The Turk, I think.
The Turk, right?
I think that was a Hungarian dude.
Oh, Hungarian. Well, whatever. It's former USSR.
Oh yeah,
I'll
the
take
Turk,
the
mechanical Turk or automaton chess player.
This is actually a thing that has been like a hoax multiple times throughout history, and it's just, you know, they'll have a thing that looks like a robot. They'll be like, can you beat the amazing chess-playing robot? And then it's just a dude, like, in a suit sitting there, like, playing it. And
you're like, yo, the robot sneezed.
Yeah. It's the oldest trick and a very simple trick, but it apparently still works because it fooled the unfoolable RT or whatever Russian state television this was. Guys, earthquakes have been in the news a little bit, and that's always unnerving for us here
in LA
and California. But this time, so the last earthquake was in all the way up in Alaska, and this time it was in Tennessee. So the middle of the country, you don't really think about in the context of earthquakes, but long ago, 1811 to 1812 and 1813, that's how long the aftershocks lasted for. There was this thing called the New Madrid Seismic Zone, where all these towns along the Mississippi River just got completely like swallowed by the earth by this like 7.9, I think, earthquake that I think it's one of the top three strongest earthquakes in the history of North America on record. And it basically, like, it turned the earth. There's this thing called liquefaction where the particles of dirt in the ground, like, shake so much that they basically stop cohering together and they, like, swallow everything on top of them.
I don't need this.
And
there,
it sent tsunamis up the Mississippi River. It was just fucking bonkers. And so that's a thing that they're saying could happen again, basically.
This earthquake in Tennessee could be related to the New Madrid?
It's the same fault
seismic zone or whatever?
Yeah.
It is like a fault line that's running along?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yes.
I was like, is that fracking?
Yeah.
Like, nah, it's been there.
Right. Yeah. But it's crazy because it's like the most dramatic earthquake I've ever heard of, and it was along the Mississippi River. And they basically say that if this happened today, Memphis would be gone and St. Louis would be in ruins.
What?
Yeah.
What?
But
yeah, like it would just swallow up. Like when they say it would, Memphis would be gone. They're saying the damage it would just like
it would
level
just be,
the city.
Yeah.
Not the Equifax.
I don't know
thing
about
talking
the
about.
Equifax thing.
Yeah.
But
Liquifax.
I think probably those towns aren't necessarily as much built for earthquakes.
Right.
Los Angeles.
Like people where they're like, yeah, there's earthquakes here, so we need to retrofit everything in the event that shaking.
And also because it's landlocked and because of the type of rock that exists in that part of the world, which is like limestone, the rocks don't take the shaking as well.
Oh, because it's so rigid.
Right.
Yeah.
Shale in the West is better at containing the shockwaves, basically.
Well, perfect. Then we're blessed.
Yes.
You know, except LA, though, is just like, it's basically outlined by fault lines. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, no, we're all fucked. But
no, we're safe, guys.
Yeah.
Forget it.
But it's like, you can get such good juice.
That's true. Do they have moon juice in Memphis? Do y'all have moon juice?
Doubt it. Their ribs, though.
Ribs, though, not a game. Shout out to Memphis Tennessee.
All right. Mm. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And did we want to talk about the Adderall sniffer in chief?
Well, this is a great story because it's the intersection of things we all know about, politics and terrible open mic comedy.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. This comedian, quote unquote, named Noel Kassler took to the stage in New York, I think, and basically just spilled the tea on like his time working on The Apprentice and was like, I don't give a fuck about my NDA.
Yes.
And let's just listen to some of the nuggets he drops.
Yeah, it's like he knew he wanted to like get some publicity out of having this like crazy information. And rather than doing like an interview with ABC, he was like, I'm going to launch my stand-up career.
Yep.
Because he didn't know how stand-up worked. And here are the results.
He's a speed freak. He crushes up his Adderall and he sniffs it because he can't read, so he gets really nervous when he has to read cue cards. I'm not kidding. This is true. I had a 24-page NDA, non-disclosure agreement. I didn't know then he was becoming president. Now it's, no way, dumbass. I'm telling you everything I know. So he gets nervous and he crushes up these pills. That's why he's sniffing when you see him in debates and when you see him reading. It's why he's tweeting. You know, it's like he's out of his mind. It makes sense if you think about it. Methamphetamine was invented by the Nazis to keep the fighter pilots up all night on bombing runs, right? So it makes sense that Trump would use it to hate tweet and the self-centered rage at 4 a.m. on the toilet. Right.
So
we missed a couple awful jokes. I'm glad Super Producer Nick cut that out because there were some lame-ass jokes about his preference for women. But yeah, he also spilled some tea about when he was doing the Miss Teen USA competition, USA, mind you.
Yeah,
he was inspecting their teeth like the fucking Westminster dog show, and then being like, if you want to win, meet me in the penthouse. And people were apparently going up, and the people who went up were performing well in the competition.
Yeah.
So and I don't know what the fuck
people would laugh at that story, and he would be like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Which is not usually a good stand-up strategy, but it is a fucking crazy story that this guy apparently had access to.
Yeah, working on The Apprentice, saw that he was snoring. I mean, you know, who knows if this is real, but he was sniffing so goddamn much during those debates where you're like,
yeah.
That's when everyone was like, what the fuck is going on with
that? And that is definitely something that happens. You start getting...
Well, I mean, yeah, if
you don't want...
Yeah, I mean, if you start farting and shit, I mean, especially if you're doing that below. But I think, weren't you saying, like, in the 80s, though, he was, like, into doctor-prescribed pep pills or something?
Yeah.
There was, like, that... the doctor said that, didn't
he? Yeah, there was a doctor who prescribed him all sorts of pep pills and, like, feel-good pills, and he, he has, like, a medical record history that I think people were trying to pull from his doctor's office that... either the Secret Service came in and like pulled it or something, or like got rid of it. But it was that dude who like looked all shady,
like a
with long hair,
porn director.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, who does not look like a doctor, like the doctor that gives you your weed prescription.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's what he looks Dr. like.
Lebowski. He checks your fucking blood pressure for 2 seconds. Yeah, you're good. Okay, right. You might want to get your blood pressure checked. I don't know.
Yeah, I forget the specific details, but I know that he was like using basically medical speed during the 80s, and then like the trail kind of went cold. And I mean, there's a type of celebrity who, you know, uses their influence and celebrity to, you know, get doctors to give them the good shit.
Do you mean every celebrity?
Yeah. Right.
Or just any person who grew up on the West
Side.
A
lot of like teetotaling celebrities, like Elvis never took illegal drugs.
Right.
He just died of a drug overdose from drugs that like his homie doctor just prescribed
Dr. Dre
to him. Yes.
Or Dr. Pepper. But yeah, I think, I mean, that's the same kind of mentality a lot of people who get even into other prescription drugs do, because they're like, well, it's not a drug. And it's easy to just in your mind be like, oh, I'm not a drug addict.
Yeah.
I'm taking these things
and that's never gotten anyone in trouble.
Yeah.
Except for America right now.
So we'll see. But
it's also like, for sure, he's on speed when he tweets.
Yeah.
In like the middle of the night. Like, how else do you think that happens?
Yeah.
Like,
I thought he was just really inspired.
He's a man with incredibly poor nutrition.
Right.
Like, of course he would be asleep. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't eat well enough to have energy. He doesn't exercise. He doesn't believe in it. He believes that exercise wears out your machinery.
Yeah. Right.
So if you don't believe in any of those things, I can't imagine you have enough energy to run the country.
Well, I guess
so of course you're going to be a speed addict.
Yeah. Well, there's also that thing he said that he only needs like, 3 hours of sleep a night? I wonder if that's a lie he created because he's just
to cover up
twacked out all night.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I only need 3 hours of sleep.
Exactly.
And I need a screwdriver and some old TVs and a lot of porn. A lot of porn. Just leave me alone.
And there was also the dude who he wanted to give the entire Veterans Affairs Department to, who ended up having to pull himself from contention. Dr. Ronnie, I think was his name.
Oh,
Ronnie
what?
Something. One of the things that he got in trouble for was being like a Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah,
so,
just
like,
handing out pills.
Yeah, just handing out pills.
And
to
a lot
everybody.
Of people were like, "That." It's funny because there are a lot of people on other administrations who were like, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Take those flights. You
it's
might
a hard
need a little
job.
Something to go sleep. You need something to stay up.
No, I don't doubt that.
Also, I got to say, Dr. Feelgood always sounds amazing as a job.
No.
Like, he's not a bad guy. He makes you feel
Dr.
good.
Feelgood.
Yeah.
We should call it something more nefarious, like the Killer of Prince. You know,
right.
Something
wow.
like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dr. Yen.
Yeah, he killed the King of Pop and Prince.
Was it the same? No, it's not the same doctor.
No, but no. Doctors.
Doctors, yeah.
Doctors.
Who just did. I don't know how to say no.
Enabler doctors.
Yeah.
All right.
Dr. Murder Earlys.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Murder Earlys.
It's better than Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
great.
It's got, we'll workshop that.
No, yeah. I think we got it.
Okay,
and
let's print
we
the shirt.
Move forward from here. Let's talk about AMI. This is a company that we've been talking about for a long time.
Since
before they were in the national spotlight. This is run by a dude named David Pecker, who is a friend of Donald Trump, and AMI publishes National Enquirer,
Us Weekly. Most of the tabloids, except for, I think, OK.
Yeah, there's like two tabloids
that aren't AMI. Yeah.
But anyways, he's gotten pulled into the entire Trump investigation because he was basically catching killing stories to try and protect Trump. So he would buy a story and then just not run it in order to protect Trump from, you know, having that story told to another outlet.
Right. Well, in this case, now they're saying he's involved now because it's an illegal campaign contribution by paying money for someone to alter or influence the outcome of an election. He got caught up in all this shit. And we find out, oh, he has an immunity deal and he's ready to talk about all that's happened. So at first, we know Michael Cohen got done for doing that. But there's a lot to say that, oh, well, he's a liar, so we can't really trust his testimony. But now you have people like David Pecker, who's like, well, I can tell you everything. And we have receipts. And there's also his like second in command, who also has immunity and can testify. But the whole thing with Cohen's plea basically makes it hot for a lot of other entities. So AMI was the first one. They've basically are now caught up in this and are working with the investigators. And also the Trump organization itself. And now, like, you know, Granted, Trump is one of the part of that executive body that runs the organization, but the other people who work there and are part of that decision making are his children's that he loves. So that's Ivanka, Eric. I don't know if he loves him, and
just
Don
the
Jr.
one he loves, and the others tolerates.
Yeah, and the two,
according to how useful they are.
Exactly, and then also this other guy, Alan Weisselberg, who's been the CFO of the Trump Organization forever. He was like Fred Trump's accountant. This guy, Weisselberg, also has immunity. So you've got like basically like three other people besides Cohen who can actually attest to what happened and basically say like, yeah, this motherfucker is directly implicated in this felony. It was all done at his direction. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And I think that has also led to a lot of people, like especially in the GOP, to begin kind of having to check how they're defending this president. Because first you have people like Orrin Hatch who's like, I don't care. Even if it like he's like the Democrats are trying to smear this guy. And like a reporter's like, this is the Southern District of New York who's pointing this out. He's like, well, I don't care. And right. Then Grassley is also like, he's white. It's all good. Right. And then but then Marco Rubio is like, well, we have laws. So maybe, you know, if you break the laws, I guess like maybe you should like answer to said laws. I don't know. Like not really putting his foot in, but definitely not defending him. And also Bill Cassidy was also kind of saying the same thing. So I think it's got Trump a little worried.
But do you also think that, like, part of him, when they did the catch and kill on the story of him with the newest, like, with the Playboy
Karen
playmate?
McDougal? Yeah.
Right. Yes, Karen McDougal. Don't you think part of Trump was, like, mad that that news didn't get out? Because he was like,
yeah.
How are people not going to know I hit that?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's a 10-year-old fucking story also.
I mean, I saw her picture and I was like, he definitely wants this to get out.
Yeah.
Well, for sure.
He's like, yeah, it was pretty good, right? I don't know. And nothing happened. It's a very simple transaction. I don't know. Nothing's wrong.
But if there was a transaction, yeah. I was pretty good at it.
Well, yeah. And I think when you see just how it's getting closer and closer, we're seeing bigger chunks of his, like, fake facade statue start to crumble. You know, he's apparently, according to NBC, they're saying like he's really confided in close aides that he is very worried about impeachment now. He's like, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Right.
So maybe we'll see what happens. We'll see. You know, we got the new Congress coming in, new year. So we shall see where they take it. But yeah, it's definitely looking like it's getting closer and closer to Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of it being close to the end of the year, Time Magazine has released their Man of the Year, Person of the Year award, and it's basically a combination of journalists who, you know, suffered or died to, you know, fight injustice, Jamal Khashoggi being one of them, and that kind of ties into the next story we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Because the Senate has now decided to care about Saudi Arabia. And it's not totally clear why they're now like deciding to worry about people from Yemen, but
yeah.
They are, which is good. It's just a matter of like, how are they going to justify it, I guess?
Yeah, and how do you move forward? Because so the Senate passed a resolution using the War Powers Act or the War Powers Resolution to end U.S. cooperation with the Saudis in Yemen. Now, this isn't the end because there's also a similar bill in the House that would have to pass, but the Republicans have procedurally done a lot to basically – they're doing a lot of trickery to make sure it doesn't come to a vote. But those things can change once the Democrats are in the majority come next year. But it's odd because, you know, in the beginning when a lot of even Democrat senators were confronted with the evidence of what's happening in Yemen over the, past 3 years?
Right.
They were like, oh, no. And then suddenly, like, after Khashoggi, people are like – oh, okay.
So that's what that means?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and then now it's like, well, what reason now are they using to begin reevaluating this relationship with Saudi Arabia? Is it the, it was okay when like tens of thousands of civilians are dying needlessly and children are dying of starvation and widespread famine. That's fine. But now that this journalist got killed, well, hold on now. Is the calculus that we need Saudi Arabia as like a strategic ally? Or is it the freedom of the press angle? Or is it, you know, like it's weird to see how they're going to begin to articulate why they're suddenly now there's the votes, especially in the Senate,
yeah.
to try and do something.
Yeah,
I think it's just embarrassment, maybe.
Right.
Well, of course. Yeah. I mean, the pressure clearly got to a point where they're like, the Khashoggi thing happened, and then now people are looking at all this other shit, and they're like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Right. There was that picture of the starving girl who was starving because Saudi Arabia had been just bombing the shit out of her town in Yemen. And
the ports where any of the aid was going to come to.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, she was on the front page of the New York Times and captivated a lot of people's attention and was just one of the most horrifying pictures you've ever seen. And then she died on November 1st. Khashoggi died on October 2nd. So it's like, you know, Khashoggi brought attention to this conflict and to Saudi Arabia being just international fuckboys. And so then, like, the New York Times was motivated to, you know, send more resources to Yemen. And maybe it's just like the freedom of the press sort of working.
I think it's just that the Khashoggi thing made it too hot for them that they finally had to acknowledge how bad the Yemen shit was, too.
Right.
And I don't think they really gave a fuck. Because it was only public outrage. Because, I mean, pictures had existed for years. If you really wanted, if you wanted to get there, you could figure out what was happening. So it's a dark outcome. You're like, well, I'm glad it happened, but, you know, like, what's going on? The other thing, too, is I wonder if they're going to just solely be like, well, it's all MBS. You see, that's the problem.
Right.
That way they can keep the status quo in terms of the relationship, the elite alliance between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and just be like, well, it was MBS that has to go, and that's the problem. But are you just going to ignore anything that's happened before that? It's, you know, we'll see what, you know, like, are we really going to actually reevaluate the relationship between the two countries?
Right. I don't think we're going to go to war with MBS or, yeah.
No, but
Saudi
I mean,
Arabia and Saudi Arabia is not going to back down from.
Right.
What
but
they
I mean, if
do.
The U.S. spearheaded a thing to be like, yo, you're fucking up, my man.
Yeah.
That's a huge shift. Right. But I think also, too, the fact there's also way too much money in like the defense industry that is being used in lobbying to keep this thing going on. Because if we pull out of this conflict, that inevitably means less arms sales. Or, you know, there a lot of money isn't going to come the other way for people who are trying to arm the Saudis.
Yeah.
And they have a stake in this, too. So.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Although Trump's argument about, like, well, we have so many arms sales that we can't, like, stop selling them arms or it's going to hurt our businesses is kind of bullshit. Right.
It's total bullshit. What the, for what?
Like, not just ethically, but also, like, militarily, like,
yo, don't worry. Well, the people who make these arms will find some group that
right.
is a new customer right. and they'll lobby to put them off a list of why we can sell them
right,
arms.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. That's not the case. They're just like, just come on. This is an easy customer we got.
I'm a little worried though that it's taking us like more and more every time to care about a situation. Like, we need, right. like, oh, this is a picture of a murdered child, just like
right.
the picture of the Syrian child washing up on shore. It's like,
right.
Do we just need to see children's bodies graphically displaying like the fate of the country in order for us to have any kind of real attachment to fixing the situation? Do we only begin to care when it's like so, so dramatic?
Yeah.
And it shakes us out of it. And is it getting worse? Because like the news is getting crazy and crazier with like everything Trump is doing. And it's hard to keep the same level of outrage going all the time. So
right.
is it just that now it's going to be even harder for us to give a shit?
Well, I think it's also on the media, too, to keep reminding people. It's easy to obscure what's happening if you only report on shit that's going on in Yemen like once every 6 months. You
right.
know, there's no – most people, if they're not proactive enough in understanding what's happening in the news. They're more passive audiences. So, like, if you're just talking about all this other shit – it doesn't come to the forefront, and it takes the media being like, hey, this shit. Because, I mean, look at even like with gun control. There's so many kids have been killed in mass shootings, but there's still no like, nah, well, I don't
right.
know. I don't know what it is, because I think most people are empathetic enough, like when confronted with that kind of shit, you'd be like, yeah, that's not right.
Right.
But the
I
leaders
feel like the
also.
The media is writing about it, but also like that's not what's being presented to us. Like when you go and see what's trending on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's right.
So frequently, the things that are being served to me in my moments or whatever, it's like those are the things people are clicking on, but they're all really dumb. And
right.
it's hard also from like you have to catch yourself and be like, wait, why am I clicking on
the
what
KFC
did Chrissy
Duraflame
Teigen say
log?
Now right. before like I click on, hey, they murdered a journalist or these people are starving to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's on us and it's on the media. Like,
yeah, no,
they're
you're
not.
Right.
I mean, yes, but there are these huge institutions that are in place that I don't know. I think it's hard for us to hold like people to account for not being more interested in it, because I think that's just the problem with like Twitter being a news source, or you know, us having these algorithmically derived like
editorial, but there's also more stories than before about everything, because everything is a quote unquote like news source.
Well, I think people have to just confront their privilege too and understand that. I also need to be aware of people who have a vastly, nearly antithetical existence to mine.
Yeah.
That is completely different. And it's uncomfortable, I think, for a lot of people to be like, oh my God. But like, I don't want to think about it. Like, I think that's a problem. A lot of people, they'll see it and they go, I don't really want to think about it.
Yeah.
I really don't want to think about it. But, you know, it's usually not till the shit comes to your doorstep that people are like,
of course.
And then it's too late.
Right.
So what, I don't know. Just please, just keep your eye on shit. I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. If you look at that shit and you're not moved to do something, try and just figure out, like, you know, do what you can to try and move in a direction where you can be more empathetic and not just sort of tune out for your own comfort.
Right.
Because I think that's the problem.
And for, like, our own sanity, which I know it feels like, oh, this is part of my self-care. But it can't be part of our self-care to, like, not let the horrible shit in that could make us care about other people.
Right.
Right. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And we just wanted to check in real quick with a real world villain who puts any movie villain that has ever been invented to shame. Except he's like, I guess not, he wouldn't make a good movie villain because he's like, unless you could kill somebody with douche chills, which I think this guy might actually succeed in doing one day.
Yeah.
So this dude is kind of the architect of the GOP's economic argument against $15 hourly minimum wage.
Yeah, they picked the worst guy.
Right.
So like on...
Shockingly.
Yeah. On Wednesday, the House Education and Workforce Committee, they had to postpone their presentation where they had this kook economist come up and be like, oh my God, if you start paying people $15 an hour minimum wage, I mean, say goodbye to everything.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, equality doesn't work.
Right.
And the reason they had to postpone it is because people started looking into this man's past and found a weird-ass blog he used to write called No Shades of Gray or Zero Shades of Gray.
Uh-huh.
That was like, it self-described was like the like no-holds-barred conservative blog. And he had some problematic Ooh. Automatic takes that were, I mean, so there's one entry where he talks about, in response to a story about fast food restaurants having to begin listing calories on food, he's like, oh, what's next? You know, the government's overreaching. I guess at this point, there should be a gay sex tax, and wrote this really long thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and I'll just read you a little bit so you understand where the geniuses on the GOP are coming from. It says, in gay sex, we have an activity that is clearly leading to disastrous health consequences. What rational person would engage in this sort of activity? There is only one solution. Let's tax it. So he's likening the not just having a fucking deeply homophobic take on that, but, you know, the government stepping in because too much calories is bad for us. And then he says, come on, Sabia. You say his name is Joseph Sabia. How are you going to enforce these taxes? Are you going to send government officials to peep in everyone's bedroom? Eventually. But first, we have to mount the assault on Big Gay. No, I'm not talking about Rosie O'Donnell. We can tax gay nightclubs,
classic Rosie joke.
Websites, personal ads, sexual paraphernalia. So anyway, this guy's out here.
Why
really?
Do conservatives only have like two punchlines? That's crazy how bad they are.
Because
at
I don't know if you noticed, they're not good at comedy.
They're really bad.
Because comedy requires empathy.
Right. Yeah.
I really, I just don't understand. There's no the creativity coming from the right. I don't understand why it's so terrible.
Right.
Like, there's not. Remember the "It's Okay to Be White" guy? That track was kind of a banger. But not really. He was ripping off existing material.
Right.
I haven't, you know, there's no Beyonce
no.
on the right.
Do you remember how sad it was when Trump was trying to book musical acts for the inauguration? Because
yeah.
no people
They're
who
like,
are
no.
right wingers make good music.
Right, exactly.
He's like Ted Nugent, I guess. I don't
right.
fucking know.
He's going to play a machine gun, I
yeah.
guess, as a
right.
guitar. But then he also, this man, Joseph Sabia, the economist, he also. He's like an incel too, like a very early incel, just based on his description of like college women.
Right.
It says, as women have strayed from the church,
okay,
they have
good start.
They have replaced what is holy with what is temporally pleasing. For Catholics, the model woman was Mary, the Virgin Mother of God. She's beloved by the faithful for her unflappable devotion to and trust in God. Okay, he keeps going, keeps going. He says, today's college girl looks to Ally McBeal.
Yep,
the Trollops of the sex in, of Sex in the City
uh-huh.
and the floozies on Friends to set their moral compasses. Additionally, other sex-based relationships have become commonplace. In recent years, a new and disturbing arrangement known as, quote, friends with benefits has emerged.
Oh my
in
God.
This arrangement, men are not even forced to perform the normal duties of boyfriends, i.e. flowers, Valentine's Day cards, rides to the abortion clinic.
Oh.
Okay. And it said, instead, girls consider these guys just friends whom they happen to screw every now and again. This type of arrangement is the next logical step in the direction that young women have drifted in the last few decades. These women have become unpaid whores. At least prostitutes made a buck off of their trade. These women just give it away.
Oh, wow.
So that's the kinds of people that they have to present as experts
mm-hmm.
on shit. Everyone's, they're just, you know, really bad open mic
He
comedians.
Is an expert. on not ever getting any.
Right. Yeah. So again, just the kinds of experts, only the best people, and everyone has this like shitty incel background, I guess.
Let's go with a news story that guy would not be able to make sense of that in his worldview. And that is a recent statistical analysis that found that women-led films do better at the box office.
Sophia is opening a bag of Pirates movies.
I gave up on it.
Just open it. Just yo, watch.
No,
you
I'm not
stress
eat
open
during
it.
This. Okay. I was gonna.
I just had to let people know. There's a lot of tension in this room.
It's a lot of tension because this Pirates booty is looking at me.
It needs to be eaten, gobbled up. Yeah. So women are doing better, huh?
Yeah. The box office? All budget levels. So it's not just, you know, blockbuster movies. It's all budget levels.
It's almost like women are 50% of the population and right. are as relevant to the human experience.
That's crazy.
As men?
Whoa, feminist. What's that about?
Right. Kick me off the show.
But movie studios are paid, like movie executives are paid to read the zeitgeist, and they have spent the last, like, I don't know, 5-10 decades saying that like women-led movies don't do as well.
Right.
And then finally enough movies that star women have come out and they did a statistical analysis, and I still doubt that this changes anything, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, and there's also, I think that whole thing also showed a clear, it's still white man central.
Yes.
But despite the fact that diverse casts and female-led casts have done way better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other thing was that since 2012, every film that has gone on to pass $1 billion in global box office has passed the Bechdel test.
Right.
Think about that shit, too.
I love that.
You know what I mean? Also, shout out to the Bechdel cast. If you don't know, if you want to know about the Bechdel test, check that podcast out on this here network.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I didn't even realize that dimension of,
but this is a very common like thing to be told in Hollywood, and they say it with people of color too.
Yeah.
When my husband was making a TV show and was casting a black woman as the lead, they were like, oh, even black people don't like to watch black people on TV.
Oh, I'm sorry, white guy.
And Max,
how do you
was
know that?
Like, what are you saying?
Right.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How could that possibly be true in any way? That, like, people don't want to see themselves represented. Yeah. Anybody doesn't want that. That's right. An insane thing. There's so many things that show that representation matters and affects. Like, oh, if you can't see it, you can't be it. You
right,
know?
Right.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. I think it's like even with politics, you have this whole subset of the old generation still basically at the levers. They don't want to let go, even with the evidence in front of them. Like, because even now you look at politics, they're like, what are you talking about? People want maternity leave or this other shit.
Yeah.
That right. they can't just quite get over despite all the evidence that says you're fucking up. And yeah, we see this too in the entertainment industry where many of the decision makers still have this very terrible mindset. But I guess now as the box office returns show, oh, well, these are winners.
Right.
Profit will ultimately guide them to the light.
Yeah, you'd think so.
I mean, it's
but...
like, you would think that profit comes first, but I think it's like, if it also affirms our
shitty
long-standing,
worldview, right?
Yeah, like, you know, patriarchal and white people-oriented world, like, if it confirms that, it's way easier to believe those numbers than
yeah.
when it's like, hey, actually, the opposite thing is supported by numbers. Then
right.
you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't confirm to
oh.
my worldview.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, movies still remain dominated by white male actors or white male-led movies. And there's no excuse at this point other than just the fact that there is a, you know, residual abundance of white men in the Hollywood, like, infrastructure. And the smart business thing to do would be to have the most diverse staff and make the most diverse movies. But,
right.
You know.
Because it'll speak to a multitude of people.
There is an opportunity. And I mean, this
And also
is...
it's more interesting. It's
yes.
like the argument for not having all male comedy lineups or
yes.
all white people comedy lineups. Anything. If you think you're funny now, Brad, wait till four other Brads aren't right after you.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're confident in your talent, then like it'll only shine when it's contrasted to other people's talent.
Yeah. This is goes back to a study I love talking about, but where they found that people who were in more diverse groups when compared to a control where it was people in like homogeneous groups. So the more like similar the people were, the groups were less successful at the task they were doing, but they were more likely to be very confident in it. And because right. it was like easy for them to
like, yeah, we're all on the same page. Right. right.
Because they arrive at whatever decision they wanted to arrive at. That was, it was easy because they all agreed with one another. It's just that the product was worse. Whereas people who were in more diverse groups had less confidence because their process was more conflict ridden, but it also resulted in a better product. And I mean, this is true across everything. Like the more diversity you have in a culture, the more open exchange of ideas yeah. you have, the more success, the more technology moves quicker. And the reason that like technology and discoveries and medicine is moving so fast right now is despite, you know, authoritarian tendencies right now at the top of different Western countries, we're still about as free as we've ever been. And the reason there were fucking no like technological or medical advances during the Dark Ages is because ideas and people were not free. And it was just a couple of, you know, white people at the top deciding who could talk to who. So yeah.
Look at us now.
Look at us now.
And the people look hotter when you let everybody mix up.
Hell yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
and also when you give them, what is it in their salt? The calcium?
What?
Iodized salt. Yeah, that's because...
No goiters.
Yeah, in the That in really the dark makes you ages, not hot. In the Dark Ages, goiters? Everybody had like facial goiters because they weren't getting enough iodine. And then once we started iodizing our salt, like we all became... Way hotter.
Oh, really? Yeah. People look like bogus?
Goiters, just like literally
the
big
Gerard
old
Depardieu character?
Yes, exactly.
Things coming out of your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one
ugly,
of the
right?
greatest leaps forward in
Was that just in Western Europe? Or we got goiter faces like in Asia too?
I think it was just when we started iodizing our salt. And yeah. I think that right. was not happening in a lot of different places. I also think it was probably the goiters were more common in Western Europe because Western European people were filthy as fuck.
Right, whereas, right.
Like, when they came to the New World, they found Native American people to be like incredibly beautiful and like clean and right. well-kept compared to them.
Because they thought bathing was bad for you.
Right. They thought right. bathing was literally terrible for
They're
you.
Like they all smell good. Their hair is all shiny and silky, yeah. not matted, greasy.
Oh, I just have one dreadlock.
You could strike a match off it. Go ahead.
And just while we're on the subject of Box Office Watch, I wanted to talk about a claim Netflix is making that their Kurt Russell Christmas movie, The Christmas Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
well named, is they're claiming the number one movie of the year, essentially. Because
what?
It in its first week, it was viewed 20 million times, which would be the equivalent of making $200 million at the box office.
But they didn't.
Right, but they didn't. They didn't That's put it fun. Out in theaters, which they totally could have done. But
well, that's the same thing they do with Bright, too. Weren't they like, oh, this movie would have done really well?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But still, it is frustrating. This is something we've been talking about this week, how frustrated I am by the fact that there are these huge companies that have all this information about us that they just won't let out.
Right.
And so there's all the companies that made our locations a $21 billion industry. And Netflix just also doesn't release anything about like the shit that we're actually watching unless there's like some big project they.
You just want to know who watched that Kurt Russell movie. You want a detailed list
who
of
was
your
it?
Friends.
God damn.
Who it was.
I'm surprised they didn't even go any further. They're like, and assuming that not like in one viewing, there's probably at least one other person there. We're looking at, I mean, right. $3 billion.
right. Yeah.
Plus
yeah.
shared Netflix accounts. I mean, we don't know how many motherfuckers are really watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think the most they've done was like right at the end of the year. Didn't their like Twitter account like started calling people out? They're like, to the one person who watched Avatar 900 times this year, who hurt you? Remember like they were getting weird on their messy on their Twitter last year?
Yeah. And yeah, like, well, that was like a thing they thought was like cute, like right. a funny thing to be like, who watched
They were like,
this?
That Wendy's account is mouthy. Oh, it was we gotta get in that game.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings. Thank you, Anna. Yes, it was the Lord of the Rings. Whoever watched Lord of the Rings like 300 times, what the fuck happened?
Right. And it's like, that's funny, except you're seriously paying a lot of attention to us and judging us all.
Yeah.
And not telling us what you're finding out.
I wonder if they just know so much, though. They're like, yo, we can't even let people know how much we know. Because right. it's too hot.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm sure you can really juxtapose that with some psychographic data and be like, oh, wow.
Learn some things.
There
you
are five
know about
kinds
yourself.
Of people based on our Netflix viewing habits.
The other thing that's somewhat foreboding about Netflix is that they're so deep in the hole. They're spending way more than they're making. And so it suggests that there's like some end game where they start making money off of us.
Right.
And off of all the information they've learned about us from like their psychographics and, you know, the things that told them to make that Ashton Kutcher sitcom
the
that
ranch.
Takes place on a ranch. That's like they know all this shit about us that is just kind of profane and weird. And somehow they're planning on monetizing it. Or they'll just get bought by Apple, which would also be scary, I think, because they'd be too big and powerful. But anyways, yeah, it's not clear how anything works inside Netflix. So you only get like their product and how much they're spending on different shit to make sense of it all. And none of it really makes sense.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I think a lot of other companies are getting wise to what Netflix is doing. And they're like, well, fuck it. We'll just take our shit. All of our IP and all the things we own and make our own streaming shit. That's why right. like a lot of those Marvel shows are getting canceled because they're like, well, don't worry. When Disney starts their thing, they're like, we'll just reboot it over here because right. we own that IP anyway.
Right, right.
So, which will suck because then you're going to be fucking subscribing to like 9 different things because it used to be centralized. And then maybe that could be the end of it for them because the other films they count on to, in their, as part of their library will begin migrating towards the streaming platforms of those like networks or studios.
Right.
And then they're left with just their originals and like terrible other shits. I mean, I watch all them shits, so yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here for you, Netflix.
Look, as long as there's Married at First Sight, Honeymoon Island, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're good.
Right. And this is where you guys start talking about
90 Day Fiancé for like
okay, we're not
three
going
weeks
to because you
well,
are salty about
Don't
it.
Worry. Sophia and I, we're having an in-depth conversation after this.
Anyway, Sophia, it has been up to this point really great having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can listen to my podcast with Courtney Kosak, Reality Bites, yep. Bites with a Y. And you can find me at The Sophia everywhere, T-H-E-S-O-F-I-Y-A.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yes, there is. The tweet is by Anya Voles, and the tweet is, relationships are so casual these days. Nobody actually has an anniversary anymore. They're like, October 14th is the day he responded to my Instagram story for the first time. And it's like, where did all the romance go? Why can't my dad trade me for livestock anymore? Ugh, take me back.
That's great. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet that I like is this is one Anna showed me from Reductress earlier. It's a woman crying with a Christmas lights and a wreath in her arms, and it says, "All I want for Christmas is your approval." The woman looks so tortured.
Aww.
Love it.
Nice delivery.
Yeah.
What a pictorial tweet.
Thank you so much. Another one just this applies to our office is how to cut out all the people who are not obsessed with your dog. God. No. Gotta respect people's dogs, right?
Yes.
But we'll get hot.
We certainly don't do that enough. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I enjoyed from super producer Anna Hosnier. She tweeted, "This is real and happening on 1221. That is the live read of Santa University, a live stage reading, December 21st,
yeah.
8 p.m. Be there.
You'll see some favorites there.
You will see some favorites there. You'll miss some other favorites there. And another tweet I was enjoying is... WDSU tweeted, "This Sesame Street Muppet will become the first to experience homelessness." And Dion Gatta, shut the fuck up, tweeted, "Oscar the Grouch been living in a trash can for 49 years.
Exactly.
Which is true.
And the best
people need to bring more attention. Oh, did he?
He's like, "Oscar, you're such a grouch." He's yeah. like, "Bitch, I live in a fucking trash can."
he good. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out?
Let's go out on a little remix by Flying Lotus of a Brandon Coleman song called Walk Free. So this is Walk Free, the Fly Low remix. And, you know, everybody just go into your weekend walking freely, okay? Honor yourself, honor your spirit, and honor your desires this week. Love you, Uncle Miles. I love my Uncle Miles.
Bye. We're going to ride out on that. We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, yeah. Everyone. Bye.
Bye. With that look in your eye, moments into memories as the day goes by. Each second with you makes it feel alive. Walking through the dark, walking after dark,
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.